Hello, I'm Justin Fried. This is episode 136 of the Tech Podcast in 30. Hello. At the top of the show, I want to say that we do have our charge keys on hand from our last guest, Noah Denzel. I'm still saying his name wrong, of Nomad. So the first way to get a charge key Lightning Edition or a charge key micro USB edition, I think, is to what come up with something right off the fly. Retweet this the link to this show, and we'll look at who does it, and then I'll DM one of them and say, hey, what's your address? I'll send you a charge key. Does that work? Heim time.
Sure. Look, I think a simple retweet or a review on iTunes.
I was about to say a review on iTunes.
That's Paul and Shapiro of paulandshapiro.com. Wait, before we really get
started.
It
doesn't have to be a good review.
Paul, if you're lucky enough to be watching the video edition of the podcast, Paul, doesn't it look like there's like tilt shift going on Heim's camera today?
It's called Spotlight, and it's one of the features that Google Plus and Hangouts do for you automatically.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So after that disastrous introduction, I will get into the meat of the show.
Well, I want to talk about something first.
All right. Well, we're going to send it back to Heim time. We're going to be talking about the end of lifing. That is, the XP is finally going to the guillotine. But Heim time wants to talk about Heartbleed, and it has nothing to do with his health.
Okay, so if you watch Insecurity, we did a whole show on what exactly it is. But very simply, Heartbleed is an SSL vulnerability. That's the HTTPS part of the domain address that you put in. It's the green lock. It's the thing that keeps everything secure. What happened was a Google researcher found, I don't know, 2 days ago, a two-year security vulnerability where it allows the users to capture packets, but with any sort of data built in. It's just like a Wireshark. So they can potentially capture anything that they want by just hammering the website. And so what's going on as of right now is the big sites are either affected or unaffected by it, but you have to go through, and if the site is affected by it, you have to change your password. And if you don't change your password, they probably have it. So the best thing you can do is listen to Insecurity. We give you some links, or go to the LastPass blog. They give a good detailed write-up. You can check everything there. Check the websites. Google is not affected. Yahoo is. MyFitnessPal is. Fitbit is. Netflix is. Tumblr is. Woot is. Amazon is not. And change those passwords. I'm done.
Okay. Well, we'll post links to it. And I mean, I read The Atlantic quite regularly, and this is the first time that they've led with a security-based story recommending that everyone change their passwords. I don't think that the implications of this will be felt in the immediate term. I bet you, though, people are going to be caught in this net in the next couple of weeks and months. Someone's going to say, "Oh shoot, all my Yahoo mail got deleted or something because they must have stolen my password via this vulnerability." And Han, who did we get? Did we give any YubiKeys away on Insecurity? Did you do that?
No, YubiKey gave us a promo code. We want to get them back on and see if they'll give us another promo code.
The point is, we love YubiKeys. Does having something like YubiKey or any other type of two-factor authentication help here? If you use YubiKey, would that have solved this problem for you?
Honestly, no. Only because they can capture that information, and YubiKey maybe not, but the Google Authenticator, the six-digit seed, okay. Yes, they probably could have. They could reverse engineer that and do it.
So you got to change your passwords, which is a good thing to change your smoke detector batteries and change your passwords. And if you're in the leakiest boat that probably is still afloat, operating system-wise on the internet, is Windows XP, and officially today Microsoft stops supporting it. So it's not like it shuts off or anything, but certainly it's a point of demarcation that's important on the web, because XP is still. Heim, are there terminals in your school that use XP yet?
Every single computer in our school has been downgraded from either Vista or 7 to be on XP. and we are now paying the same downgrade license to, in fact, now upgrade them to Windows 7.
Paul, when was the last time you logged onto a Windows XP machine?
It was pretty recently. I had given my mother a Windows XP disk to install, so.
Well, on the pre-show, Paul and I were talking about how he gives XP CDs out, and I said I used to do that. I stopped about a year ago, because if I'm giving an XP CD out, that means that the person probably getting it is probably never going to update it anyway, if they're using me to get a free operating system.
So you're both acknowledging that you're bootlegging Windows XP, but not for profit. You're doing it out of the goodness of your hearts?
Yes.
So why not pass out a new Ubuntu disk? I mean, here's the thing. What the question that's most interesting to me, looking at Microsoft's trajectory over the past couple of years, is why is XP still as popular as it is? Is part of it, the first thing I'd like to get off the table, is whether or not it's popular because it's easy to share, it's easy to pirate, and it's good enough. Is that what it comes down to, or is it the flip side, that Windows Vista and 7 and 8 aren't compelling enough upgrades?
Well, when Vista came out, everyone, it was a boondoggle is the right word. It was a boondoggle. People said, oh, stay on XP, stay on XP, stay on XP. So then 7 came out, and that's when a lot of people actually did move. But there was a lot of people who said, you know what? XP just works for me. XP works with this. The video card manufacturers still haven't updated the drivers, so I'm going to stay with XP, stay with XP, stay with XP. And all the enterprise systems work with XP, so they had no reason to change.
Paul, is part of the reason that XP has been able to maintain its longevity, besides the features of the operating system itself, besides the fact that I think you can... You know, it's, you don't even need to crack it. You can just use it in a CD key that you find with a Google search. Is it because the world of the internet exists in a browser that as long as Chrome and Firefox work on XP, you don't need to give your operating system a second thought?
No, I think that's a good possibility that's the reason. I mean, even the most current operating system, Windows 8, it's nothing that much more special than what you get with Windows XP.
So is this a
criticism of operating system technology in general, that people still aren't, widely speaking, using touchscreen laptops, that we still want a start menu or a dock, and we want to run applications, and those applications are primarily web browsers, and, you know, for whatever other purposes we have, we use our mobile devices. Is the longevity of XP partially explained by the fact that what's in our pockets is more important than what's on our desks?
No.
You don't think that has a lot?
I don't agree with any of that. I think that if you have a computer, it depends on who you are. If you're just browsing the internet, there's no reason to necessarily upgrade. Your computer is probably 5 or 6 years old, and 5 or 6 year old hardware can still run Chrome with the best of them. And when you do upgrade,
what else are you doing? What else are common folk doing on their computer other than browsing their web and
at the office? That's it.
Word processing, yeah.
And Microsoft has brought Office to the web. There's Google Docs. But Paul, do you side with me here that the fact that most people are better served by an iPad anyway, means that they don't, if they have an XP laptop sitting around, they don't even think about what the operating system is because they use it 10% of the time for any of the amount of time that they're like on the internet. I mean, it's got to be.
I don't know that it's to say that they're using mobile devices in its place, but they're doing the same thing on their Windows XP device that they're doing on their Windows 7 and their Windows 8 and their phone. It's all just browsing the web. And that experience doesn't fundamentally change.
So when we go to the other big operating system for desktops and we look at OS X, why has OS X's progress been so much better? And why is the penetration of the newer versions of OS X far and away superior to the adoption rates that Microsoft has seen with 8 and 7. And I can list off 10 reasons, but before I do
that. Well, let's start with Windows XP right now still has more market share than every single than the combined Mac collective of all the machines.
Is that literally true?
Or I think that is literally true. I think right now the entire Mac population, everyone running a Mac right now, a Mac PC, not an iPad or an iPhone, XP still has more market share than that.
Okay, I think that might be true. I think they say that XP is hovering right below 5% of total OS installs that can be detected, and that OS X is somewhere around 3% on a really
good day. So with that said, okay, look, Apple controls the hardware and the software, so they say, you know what, we want everyone on the best experience. Let's make it really, really easy to update. And since Tiger, Lion... Was it Lion? Lion was the last one I bought. Mountain Lion was $29.99, and you'd buy it through the Mac App Store. And then the other one was $19.99, and then whatever we're on now. Mavericks is free. Yeah. Mavericks is free. So how can you not go with free if all you got to do is click the update button?
So that presumes that you're on a certain you're on hardware that can support it. And it seems that at this point, I think that Microsoft has announced an ad-supported starter version of Windows that is free. Is that right? Did Satya Nadella, butchering his name? But
that's awful.
That was what do it for me, Paul. Then what do you think it is?
I did not hear this, but an ad-supported operating system is awful.
Oh, I thought you meant my pronunciation of the guy's name. Microsoft just made an announcement alongside there's now Office for iPad, but they're also acknowledging that in the OS market for them to have an install base that is new enough and big enough to appeal to developers, and to have for them to win mobile, they want more people on the most recent versions of Windows, because those versions plug in best to OneDrive, and for people to have the best experience on Windows Phone Mobile or whatever the hell it is now, they need to be on Windows 8. So in order for them to boost that up, they need people on their desktops on the most recent version, and they're doing it by going free. A little bit, at least.
But I mean, they're going to make money on ad revenue. It's really far from free.
Okay,
if they were really smart, they would just give it out for free and hope that people use their other software.
Well, so if they're at the same time going to be selling Office services that then entitle you to use the free versions on that you download on the iOS App Store, they might have a similar method for the Mac App Store. We haven't seen that yet for the new version of Office. But the point is, Microsoft has to give up tons of revenue in order to make good on that, right? Or are they going to say that if a PC costs above a certain amount, they simply won't allow the free version of Windows or even the cheaper starter versions of Windows to be sold on it? They've already done that geographically with the starter version of 7 and 8. But does the end of XP... Can they only push the remaining people off of XP by moving to a free operating system? Is that's what I'm getting?
No, I don't think so. I think there's no way to get somebody off XP unless you actively walk up to them and give them a new computer and train them on how to use it.
What about the thing that people have been saying kind of flippantly, that all of the XP users that are out of the enterprise and corporate environments, it's all China. It's all the Chinese people. They're on XP because they're on weird hardware, and they haven't figured out how to crack Windows 7 100%. They still get nagged sometimes. So it's that of that 4.5% of people that are or of installs that are still XP. It's 90% of those are in China.
Well, I think a lot of them. I don't think 90% are in China. I think the majority are either are running on low hardware or in the enterprise. Remember, Windows XP is 14 years old. My sophomores have never seen a time without Windows XP. Think about that. A 10th grader, that's what it is. They're 14, or an 8, let's go 9th grader, because it is 14. So with that said, you don't own a 14-year-old computer. If you own the oldest computer you probably own is probably 9 or 10 years old, and at that point it probably came with Vista.
Paul, when did Windows XP start to feel old? Because if it is 14 years old, if it was its inception was 14 years ago, at what point did you say to yourself, "Oh, now Windows XP is an old operating system"?
I think it feels fine. Like I don't have the perception that it's an old operating system.
No, I do. I mean, when you played with when I got Windows 7, when I got the beta that Justin and I were trying, I said, wow, XP feels old. I'll deal with it, but it feels old. Vista I didn't care too much about. And well, now,
what about it feels old?
It's
the UI is not like significantly different.
The most viewed picture ever is that Rolling Hills picture. When you look at it, it's pixelated.
Desktop.
I mean, it clearly functions, but to me, I feel like it could do more.
So Paul's overall critique basically is that the development of desktop operating systems hasn't gone anywhere in the last 14 years, and so XP, OS 9, it doesn't even matter.
I think there's a huge difference between OS 9 and OS 10, but okay. I would argue that the differences between the different OS 10s are not that significant.
Okay. So for me, a client just bought $400 Toshiba laptops that Best Buy was selling. They each came with a mouse, an 8 gigabyte USB key, a subscription to Norton, and a nice holder for each of the laptops, and they had Windows 8 installed on them. So I was saying to myself, wow, this is going to be a support nightmare because I'm going to have someone unbox all of them, upgrade them all before they actually get onto the corporate network. And lo and behold, they shipped with Windows 8.1, even though they seemed like they were old, it's older hardware and they were cheap. But it had Windows 8.1 on it, so they all had the start menu, the start button already installed. They all by default went to the desktop rather than the Metro interface. And when I started networking them, I for the first time appreciated Windows 8's method of doing things, and even looked back in Windows 7 and said, okay, I get it. If I had to do this with Windows XP, and of course I only thought about it, this in the context of having to take tons of doctor's offices out of XP, but for the first time, I see the benefits of the newer operating system, and it's networking. It is sharing files. It's also security. So those are the things that have moved ahead. But who cares about those things? It's people like me in IT, and it's corporate people, and I guess to a lesser extent, it's people on their home networks. But I can see why XP, going from XP to 7 is not exciting for people, right? Whereas getting a new iPad always feels pretty exciting.
Well, no, moving from XP to 7, you got a whole new graphic. I mean, yeah, the start button was still in the left-hand corner, or even 8 with the Metro interface. But yeah, when you started plugging in your printer, it just found the printer driver. You didn't have to go to the website and get it. Things work. What I love the best is when you reformat the computer and you have to find another computer to download the network card driver. Otherwise, you can't get on the internet to download everything.
So have either of you experienced putting Ubuntu on older hardware as opposed to XP? Can I convince both of you to hand out legitimately licensed, free, open source software instead of aging XP?
Well, I will say, take any XP computer down to Best Buy. They'll give you $100. Buy the Acer C-something Chromebook for $200. You'll get $100 back. Now you have a functional computer for $100.
Hold on. If you bring in an XP-based piece of hardware, they give you $100 for it?
$100 towards a new computer.
Interesting. I mean, I can't tell you how many hundreds of dollars I've thrown out in XP-based computers.
So you could take it, get the cheapest Chromebook you can get, which will do just about anything you want. I love my Chromebook. It'll give you 100 gigs of Google Drive space free for 2 years.
which is now worth a lot less than it used to, but that's a good thing.
Okay, and you can give that to your grandmother, and unless she uses Skype, which is the only downside of the Chromebook, she won't know the difference.
My brother was furious a couple of days ago when he realized that he couldn't run Skype through the browser, and it's not a Windows 8 machine that he has. I do want to throw in that Dell, surprisingly, it's a pleasant surprise, released a Chromebook today. That looks very nice, that I'm thinking of getting. So back to XP and its horror stories. For a very long time, it was coupled with Internet Explorer. And Microsoft, of course, still needs Internet Explorer to work and to be widely used if they want to maintain kind of whatever control they have left over people's browsing experience, even on Windows 8 machines. So maybe the best thing for the Internet at large would be people moving away from Internet Explorer, no matter what version of Windows they're on, and picking a better browser. Is it still the case? Is Windows XP kind of like the unvaccinated kid going to school and giving everyone measles? That's where security chops are supposed
to be. Well, nowadays, it's a lot more... nowadays, there's a lot more unvaccinated kids going to school. But, no, we've been saying for a long time, you got to move off IE6. It's just too old. There's too many vulnerabilities. Well,
IE6.
You have to move to IE8. You can't get on YouTube. You can't do a lot of stuff. So you should be moving off, and it was a problem.
Have you ever recommended that someone get off of IE6 and onto another IE version?
No. No one's on IE6. That's just a joke. That's just like the oldest version.
That someone get off a version of IE in place of another version of IE?
Well, look, I'm at school, and the previous school I worked at used IE6 and Windows 2000 on a lot of their machines.
You work in the northeastern United States in economically pretty well-off areas, and you're telling me that Windows in your recent memory there are Windows 2000 computers with IE6 kids are supposed to get on Wikipedia with?
Yes, and now. And at the school I'm currently at, they're forcing everyone, they're saying even don't even use IE. Before it was IE8 and Firefox were the two official browsers. And now they're saying our support team can't handle IE. You should all move to Firefox.
I think that's a fair thing to say. Now I'm gonna frame my question from earlier in a different way, because I still think I was right and it's an important idea. But isn't the bigger lesson here that Windows XP, it's still running on tons of ATMs. If you see like a train schedule LCD crash, you're going to see the blue screen of death, and there's a good chance it was running Windows XP. All that type of stuff. Integrated systems, still on XP, because it's just their functionality kind of remains static, you know? Even if the way the data gets to them is advanced and it's changed, you can still feed it like a CSV file to just display the train schedules. Anyway, to me, this is more about the desktop operating system in general becoming less relevant, and WebOS is becoming more relevant. And we're seeing a certain type of balkanization across the cloud-based. I'm going to call Google Drive and Google System a cloud-based operating system, and it's kind of close to a cloud-based file system. I think that what is on people's computers is less important than it's ever been, and will continue to get less important. And that's why no one's going to attend XP's funeral. And it's not because XP is bad. It's because people just don't care about their desktop OS the way they used to. This is not a fight between Sega and Nintendo or
PS4 and
Apple and Microsoft anymore. This is about what your main cloud system is. That's what I think. I think you can see that by looking at who cares about XP's demise.
Well, the people who care about XP's demise are the IT people that have to move everyone off and are the ones that have to troubleshoot any sort of bugs that happen with it. I don't think for personal use, I don't think that too many people have XP at home. I think it's they go to work and that's what they use, because it, like we said, Vista's been out since 2005. So if you have a computer from older than 2005, you should move up anyway.
Hey, do you guys have a Parallels installation or a VMware installation on your Mac?
I use VMware.
Okay. I used to, but not anymore. What Windows operating system do you have on it?
I have an image of Windows 7 Professional.
Okay. I have Windows XP.
You know, I'll say this, with Unity, I moved an accounting firm from their XP Windows Vista, Windows 7, all of them unified by Windows Server 2008 Small Business Edition with Active Directory, all to OS X. And there's one piece of accounting software that I think is called ABC. It measures the depreciation on houses with rentals or something, like something pretty simple to do. But as far as they were concerned, it did it so much more easily than the new web-based systems, and they just really liked it. So now they all are running through VirtualBox a version of XP that can run this like one step away from DOS-based software. So if what you're getting at is that is the way that XP will live on, it will for like the next, maybe forever. And that's where how archivists will like go through XP-based, like, I don't know, play XP-based games or something.
Look, if you're running XP and you're careful and you're not doing anything you're not supposed to be doing, you should be fine. If you're running XP not connected to the internet, or you're running XP in a VM where you can just blow out the image and start over, oh, you're going to be okay. But if this is your main machine, at this point, like I said, I would really recommend either upgrading or just getting a new computer,
or getting an iPad. Basically, I mean, this is partially, you know, there's got to be some people that are locked into XP for money reasons too, but from Microsoft's point of view, is this? I mean, they've obviously been planning this for a long time. Is it possible that it's now smart to go to XP? It's security through obsolescence?
No. Because basically any security thing they find, the Windows code base hasn't changed all that much. That they'll fix it for Windows 7 and 8. It's going to be there prevalent in XP, and they're not going to fix it.
I would almost say that all of the holes that harken back to the code base of NT, which, you know, is ultimately what all of them are built on, those bugs have been exploited, and any new ones that come out will probably be zero day anyway, and they might never be fixed on XP, but they're going to be just as detrimental on XP as on Vista 7 and 8. I mean, that's a possibility. But all the new range of stuff that's looking for hooks into the operating system that have been created by whatever Microsoft has done to build Vista 7 and 8, that might be dangerous. So maybe it's like running Windows XP. What if you did all of your banking on a Windows XP image with like Opera or something, so that there no newfangled bugs could crawl in? And
look, if you use, and we got a minute and a half, if you use not Word, not Office, you use an open version of Microsoft Office, or you use Google Docs, you use a third-party browser like Firefox or Chrome, you have the virus scan running and Security Essentials going, this is not as detrimental as we're playing it out to be. But still, it's why are you going to be on an operating system that is so old, and you know that you have to be careful?
I want to say, in the last minute and a half, goodbye to Windows XP. I remember Windows 95 and 98 fondly, but I would say that I've stared at Windows XP loading bars more than any operating system's loading bars, and probably for the rest of my life, that will be, I'll remember it fondly. The explanation as it installed of all the new features of it. So thank you, Microsoft, for wasting so very much of my time.
So anything else? We got 15 seconds.
No, but people should retweet this kind of messy episode if they want a chance to win a charge key from Nomad Tech.
Okay, everybody. On that note, the show has crumbled, so we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.